The criminal charges discussed in this episode are allegations only. All parties referred to in this episode are innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
Hey, everybody, it's Devin.
And Kate.
Welcome to Med Crimes.
Happy to be down in the basement with you, Toots.
Toots.
As per use.
Hey.
As per use.
Happy every other Tuesday.
Welcome to the safety hedge.
That's our new thing.
That's the thing.
We have coffee warmers.
Our coffee is warm and not ice cold like it is usually. Much appreciated. Also, we finally, and I put up a video, which I can't remember if I even sent it to you or not, but I did put up a video for our Patreons to check out the behind the scenes of... We have a new computer system.
I did not
get it. It was an unboxing. I forgot to send it to you.
I am now feeling gypped.
I'm sorry.
So our Patreons, you have seen what I have not seen.
Okay, Devin doesn't even know what's going on. It's fine.
Per usual.
But anyway, we bought a super duper system, which is going to just get us through whatever we could ever possibly need from an editing standpoint.
So
and I'm psyched.
Kate has done a little bit of background into this next upgrade that Kate had just done that the Patreons apparently saw, which was wonderful.
Yep.
Kate and I have been sitting here for the last few months. I mean, we've been struggling with our current computer system for a long time. Mm-hmm. But the last few months, as we've integrated our YouTube and also trying to record and whatnot, every single episode, we've looked over to this computer and it had stopped.
And we're losing these huge chunks.
And depending on how long it went since we noticed it, we could have lost 10 minutes mm-hmm. or 30 seconds.
Yes.
So... Thank you once again, all of you, for your support. We have a new system upgrade, and so far we're a few minutes in, and it has not died.
And it has not crashed.
It has not crashed.
So, I mean, that's like a plus right there. So I'm psyched. You should all be psyched. We're all psyched.
Once again, more stuff that goes into the quality mm-hmm. from when you first heard about us in episode one.
Yes.
And we were feeding the Santas.
Yes.
To episode 50-something, whatever this is. we should really figure out that recount.
So season two, episode five is where I'm at. I don't know. I think season three, episode five. Excuse me.
That's where we're at.
And I have no idea what number we're on. I think it's like 67, maybe.
We've lost count.
Yeah.
Because we're just having so much fun.
Hell yeah, we are.
We have some Patreons.
We have a couple.
Welcome back to Jessica Escalera.
Cup lady, we love you.
Cup lady. Welcome back, Jessica.
Welcome back, Jessica. We love you. And we also have Katrina Hepler.
Hi, Katrina.
You ladies are the bomb.com. Also, what you are is Ooh. Norns.
Do tell.
More information nobody ever asked for. Norns are from Norse mythology, and they exist outside of good and evil, and they have complete control of fate, even the fates of the gods
okay.
and like ghosts.
Ladies, I don't know if you know...
This is the big one.
It's not a, I don't know if you know this. You clearly don't know this, but I really could use your control over fate right now.
if you guys could just like hook up with Devin right
I'm
now.
I'm just kind of going through something.
She's got some shit happening.
You know, if you could give me a little bit of the control of fate at the moment, that would be great.
It'd be much appreciated from Devin. So thank you, Katrina and Jessica. And you guys are some sweet Norns that just, you know,
welcome
control
to
it all.
And welcome back to the family.
Yeah, buddy. So let's dive right into this. And I'm kind of like switching gears again a little bit. This is
I
me
love when
like
she switches it up.
Sort of diving into some new things, some new territory.
Kate's switching it up.
Switching it up.
Yep.
Okay. So this is another like little new territory for us, right? So something we have not discussed before. Devin has no idea what I'm talking about because I've shared nothing.
And I'm really worried because you did say that I was going to be squirming.
Devin and gore are two things that just do not go together well.
Never
which
have.
Is a big part of why I really enjoy doing this podcast with her because it's very entertaining for me.
Great.
But we are going to talk about a case that is largely like death care, funeral home. I don't know if you remember
okay.
something.
I think I'll be okay. But well, I'm remembering Carl Tanzler. Is this going to give me Carl Tanzler vibes? Yeah, it's going to.
Not Great. Quite. It's very, very different than what Carl Tanzler did.
I'm actually intrigued into mm-hmm. afterlife care.
Yeah.
My husband has a distant family member who is a mortician.
Which, like, is such a... such a really specific science, and I learned a lot about it and researching this.
Let me tell you, she's this tiny little thing. She's a tiny little petite woman. Mm-hmm. She's gorgeous, beautiful, and she has almost 1 million followers on TikTok. She has really, she's been in magazines because of her...
That's amazing.
Because of her way to normalize.
Yes.
I follow her on social media a little bit, and I find it so intriguing.
Yeah.
I do find some stuff squirmy.
Yes.
So, well, especially when, you know, if you're Carl Tanzler and you're putting wax to... We're not going there.
If you haven't seen, if you haven't listened to that episode, the audio was rough, but if you can get past the audio, it's a...
Get past the audio. Get past it was the audio. Early days of Men Crimes.
Yes, but it's such a crazy case.
It messed me up.
I mean... So I've been threatening to, like, purchase a Carl Tanzler, like, life-size cardboard cutout and just, like, put it in Devin's house, like, in or, various like, corners.
Pop or... up right here or something.
That would be Devin's nightmare realized.
We are going to talk about...
We are going to talk about how...
Mortician care.
Mortician care and, like, stuff. This crazy case that is what happens when the wrong people are doing... The death and dying care.
This
to me,
is a med crime.
The, oh, 100%. So to me, you know, I some of you might not think that this is technically medicine. I think that death care is part of medicine.
Oh, absolutely.
It's very much its own, like, little science and specialty, like I said.
You
and,
need to know, especially, like, with embalming, the science behind that. Wow.
Right. And then, like, maybe it's not, you know, medicine in the traditional sense,
of
but
course.
I do still feel like this case is very much in line with
absolutely,
you know, what we do on this show. So definitely rough enough to earn a spot in the Med Crimes Hall of Fame, if you will.
Dun, dun, dun.
So we're going to unpack the horror story that is still unfolding at the Return to Nature Funeral Home in Penrose, Colorado. So I won't get into a ton of detail just yet. Just stay tuned. Trigger warnings, of course, death and dying, death care, embalming, burial processes, things like that. Also, we're going to be getting very heavily into, like, decomposition. Mm-hmm. I will give you a warning when we approach all of that stuff. But let's first touch quickly on traditional burials and embalming, just so we have, like, a little bit of a context. So... Ordinarily, when a person passes away, their remains are transferred typically to a funeral home and stored in a controlled, cooled storage container to maintain the body's integrity, which also slows the decomposition process. Once they're ready, the mortician will begin the embalming process. And this is more of an outline of, like, a traditional embalming and burial. The mortician will begin the embalming process. So a mortician is, like, a professional who has studied and completed extensive training in mortuary science. And they start preparing the body for burial by doing this embalming. And we're going to sort of discuss embalming, which is a little bit intense. So if that's not your bag, go ahead and skip another minute or two. So this typically entails draining the cardiovascular system, which normally contains blood, obviously. They drain that completely and replace the blood in the circulatory system with something called formalin. Mm-hmm. And formalin is a solution of formaldehyde in water, which basically acts as a preservative, right? So it's filling all of your tissues with this formalin, which is meant to sort of slow or even stop for a period of time the decomposition process. So they also will take any hollow cavities or organs within the body, like the stomach, the gallbladder, things that, like, sort of hold fluids. They will drain those areas with a big needle and replace all of those fluids with formalin as well.
Right.
Now, the purpose of this, again, is to maintain the body's physical integrity for as long as possible, which is great for when we're, you know, awaiting funeral services and it's going to be several days. And we want to make sure that, especially if, you know, someone's having, like, an open casket service of some kind, right, that they look as much like
the presentation, their...
Exactly. Yeah. It's all about the presentation with that. So it kind of preserves their integrity. And then once burial occurs, you know, maybe it's a comfort for people to know that their loved one is preserved as much as possible and that the decomposition process was slowed considerably. And it does really make a huge difference in terms of time. So some bodies that are embalmed and preserved like this can maintain much of their physical integrity for like years. And we talked about that in the Dr. Hicks.
I was just thinking about that. Yeah. If you guys remember, again, season one, don't mind the audio, but they wanted to do some DNA sampling.
Yeah.
And so when they exhumed the body and opened up the casket, yes, there was rough smells, obviously.
Of course.
Body was in some decomposition, but it had been decades.
Yeah, decades.
It had been decades, and he was still recognizable.
It's like that's wild how much that can preserve. It's like really very, very intense. So traditional embalming and burial is not without its environmental impact. So
right.
Formaldehyde is made up of a variety of very toxic chemicals, including phenol, glycerin, and menthol. All of these chemicals are felt to be like pollutants, right? And then the direct impact of these when they seep into the soil over periods of time, it's not really well known because generally speaking, we haven't been doing that very long.
No.
You know, we've been doing that for like, you know, maybe 70 years or something like that.
Right.
So
and it's evolved.
Who knows
over
hundreds of years, exactly. Who knows over hundreds of years what that's really going to do to our environment. But even right now, traces of these chemicals can be found in soils and they can be found even in certain plants. So, I mean, there's evidence that these things are seeping into the ground, seeping into the plants. And so it's reaching our plant life and therefore our animals, our waterways, and probably even us in some ways.
And this is happening with body decomposition?
Yes.
Underground?
Yes.
Right?
Yep. Okay. And additionally, the caskets that people are buried in, if they're made of like inorganic materials, a lot of them have metal and, you know, plastics and fiberglass and these very synthetic fabrics on the inside. All of that is felt to be a pollutant as well. All of these trace metals can seep into the ground. All of these plastics and these thin synthetic fabrics and stuff, all of that seeps into the ground.
So there again, why the casket goes into a vault, correct?
Yes.
Like,
right.
So, you know, and I was actually surprised. I mean, this was years ago, but, you know, when I went to a burial of somebody, I didn't realize the extent of a vault.
Yeah.
And the type of cover you can have, very intricate and whatnot. I just thought, the casket goes into the ground.
Right.
But no,
you're in
a big old vault.
You're in like a whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the casket.
Right.
In the vault. Like, yeah, it's just.
But these traces, even so, traces of these things are still making it into the soils, into the plants, into the waterways,
absolutely.
Things like that.
You can't 100% avoid it.
Exactly. So again, you know, right now, is it causing a huge issue with the environment? Probably not, but hundreds of years into the future, like,
correct.
Who knows what that's going to do to our environment?
Well, if we've been doing this for so long and we're starting to see it, like, it obviously shows it takes time to get that trace into the ground and into the soil and all that stuff. I mean, you know, the vault's going to hold up for so long, but depending on how much water and everything gets in there, that's how much faster like it happens and everything. So, I mean, I could certainly see it's just going to get worse.
The more we do it. So
I mean, cremation is becoming more popular.
It is. So. Yeah. And like for me personally, I don't love the idea of being embalmed and stuck in the ground and being preserved forever. I want to be cremated because I like the idea of just like, you know, being dust and people can like spread me where they want and have little keepsakes. I like that idea personally, but I mean, to each their own.
Of course.
But I mean, that's becoming a more appealing thing. And actually, a lot of people are looking at cremation. And so for some, it's a good segue into this. So for some, this whole embalming process seems kind of like barbaric. You know, it seems like a lot.
Yes.
You know,
I mean,
and of course, there are these environmental concerns that we just talked about. So, I mean, I can understand that point of view. So cremation offers the high temperature incineration of remains. And then, of course, the ashes are collected and given back to loved ones for spreading or keepsaking or however, you know, you want it. So that seems people like that because they feel like they can also keep a piece of that person with them. So a lot of people, though, are not comfortable with the idea of cremation, you know, which, again, is also understandable.
Right.
So there's actually a number of entities out there that offer alternative or green burial options for people who are looking to be more environmentally sound and maybe don't love the idea of cremation.
What's that involve?
We'll talk about it. So one such company is the Return to Nature Funeral Home, and they are a company, an entity that offered alternative burial types that are environmentally friendly.
Okay.
So a lot of what that involves is, first of all, cremation is felt to be like one of the more environmentally friendly options. So they offered that. They also offered burial without any chemicals and without any, with like a completely organic sort of, it's like a wood box type of burial.
Like a bamboo type of.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, so, I've heard of that. Like a bamboo green box. Yep,
bamboo green box.
Yes, I think I've heard of that.
Yep, exactly right. And then there's also companies that make these pods that I think like have, they that you can be put into like this pod and buried, and then it grows into a tree of some kind. Like I've seen things like that. David wants to be a tree.
I want to be a tree. Come visit. More, will you visit me at my tree?
I will carve my name into that tree, Devin.
Yes.
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 I will be buried next to you and will be a neighboring tree.
Oh,
can me I be, and you can will I... bear fruit for generations. It's so fucking weird.
This just went somewhere.
This just went to a place. Anyway. So yeah, there's a number of different, like,
yeah,
you know, interesting things that you can do for burials, but so understandably, you know, some people would think like an alternative burial is like a very viable and more appealing option. So Return to Nature, again, is one of these companies that offered that. So a little background on the company and the owners. So the Return to Nature Funeral Home was established in 2016 by John and Carrie Halford in Penrose, Colorado, which is about 30 miles south of Colorado Springs. They had officially opened for business the following year in 2017. And they, from what I could tell, have had like a lot of issues since they opened. They were sort of wrought with financial issues. They had missed tax payments one year, which created a lot of issues for them. They ended up being evicted from one of their properties because of non-payments. So there was also a lawsuit which ended up settling out of court, in which the Halfords were sued by a crematorium that they had previously partnered with.
This was within their first few years?
This was in their first few years.
I mean...
So, I mean, they're just like very quickly, you know, collecting all of these like really crummy things happening to them.
Before the big deal.
Before the big thing happens. And they're already having a lot of issues. So the crematorium had previously partnered with them, but they had separated their partnership due to unpaid bills. And then it also looks like in 2020, there were a couple of civil lawsuits filed. I don't have clear details on those, but just more evidence that their practices might have left some to be desired.
Right.
You know,
right.
Even beforehand. So, of note, most states, in order to continue licensure of a given funeral home, require routine inspections, like some are like annual, some are biannual, and documentation reviews, etc. The state of Colorado is actually one of the more lenient states in terms of laws and regulations for funeral homes and crematoriums and the licensure maintenance, and they do not require routine facility inspections once a license has been issued.
Okay.
So, just one thing to keep in mind.
Sure.
I also found that in July 2023, another crematorium that they had contracted with pulled out of working with them. So they did not have a crematorium on site at this funeral home. They would contract with neighboring places that have a crematorium and then send them for cremation. And then, you know, all the other business would go through, which is a common practice, apparently. But as of July 2023, unless they were contracted with something else that I couldn't really find, they weren't even contracted with a crematorium as of July 2023. So the drama of this particular situation starts to unfold when it's reported that there is an absolutely ghastly odor coming from the Penrose Return to Nature Funeral Home, like smellable and detectable outside, like outdoors.
Right. Outside of their traditional like embalming room or something.
Yeah. So because this was a funeral home and we know what's in there, like, of course, there's immediate concern that like, what's is there on? A refrigeration issue? Like what's happening?
Yes.
So something's going on. So after the first initial report, John Halford gets a phone call. He's one of the owners. John Halford gets a phone call from the funeral home and crematorium registry for the state of Colorado, which, and they're the licensing body in Colorado.
Yeah.
And the officials are like, we got reports to our office that there's like a very pungent odor. He tells the official, yes, I did have a little bit of a problem at my facility, but it's not human beings. I do taxidermy.
Mm-hmm.
I do taxidermy, and I had some animal remains here that were not refrigerated because I didn't have room. So that's what everybody is smelling.
Did he really do taxidermy?
I could not find that he does taxidermy. Maybe he does. I don't know, but I could not find anywhere that it was confirmed that he actually taxidermies animals.
Okay.
So eventually, he goes, you know, I'm going to clean it up. I'm going to get it cleaned up pronto. Like, no worries. Eventually, this office and the authorities get continued reports of an abhorrent odor. It's not going away. It's been days. And then one such reporter, somebody who reported this, had reported to authorities that, quote, I used to work in hospice and I used to work in a funeral home. That is the smell of human decomposition, unmistakably. So police are dispatched to the property when this becomes more of a community concern. And what they when they got there, the odor was like overwhelming, overpowering, outside, outdoors, ridiculous before even getting in the home. What they found when they arrived was an absolute shock to everyone. So on initial inspection, police walked in to find what seemed to be innumerable, unembalmed, unrefrigerated, essentially rotting bodies in various stages of decomposition.
How many?
Throughout this massive facility.
Doesn't matter how many, but
now this facility consisted of some offices and meeting rooms, services room, like a big services room for funerals, and then this massive, like, attached building with several different rooms. There's like an embalming room, there's some refrigeration rooms with big refrigeration units, storage. So it's like this giant warehouse sized place divided into several different rooms.
Right, right.
And throughout every room in this place, every room, there were bodies.
What?
Immediately, they're like, we got to call someone. We got to call a lot of someones.
More than one someone?
What is this? So more units and more services are starting to arrive. The more they looked, the more deeper that they went into this building.
Oh, no.
The more critical the situation became. Every room they entered came with more bodies. I'm talking stacked on top of each other, in closets, on tables, on the floor, shoved in corners, stacked on top, piles upon piles. Every room they came to, there were more bodies everywhere.
Oh my goodness.
Later, officials who testified at the initial bond hearing would say that this is one of those things that, like, you wish you had never seen because you will never forget.
Right.
Like, this is an incredibly gruesome and disturbing scene.
Wow.
Now comes the insane and grueling and monumentous task of figuring out, A, what in the blue fuck is going on here?
Absolutely.
At this funeral home. B, who are each and every one of these bodies? And then C, where do we even begin? Where do you even start?
Yes.
I can't even imagine walking into that and having that be on my fucking plate for the day.
No.
As someone working for the coroner's office or a police officer.
Gosh,
like,
gosh, no
what
way.
Is going on? I just cannot fathom that walking into that as a day of work.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody that work for coroner's offices, for EMS, for police, for fire, and EMS, anybody that just walks into piles of shit like this every day.
Oh, man.
My God, we would never survive without you. I mean, quite literally never would survive. And I have a lot of respect for people that work in these environments. So a state of emergency was declared regarding this situation. In order for the state to be able to free up all those resources and assist with the investigation.
Right.
So ultimately, three different neighboring county coroner's offices were dispatched to assist with the extractions and the identification of the bodies.
Wow.
Multiple neighboring towns and counties of police forces were assisting in perimeter control.
And this is Colorado Springs?
This is neighboring Colorado Springs area.
Yeah. This is a big area.
It is, yeah. This process of just removing the remains from the premises took days of work for hundreds of people.
Right. Just you have to do it methodically. You're not just putting a body in a car
exactly.
and going. You know, you have to know who and where have it logged.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. And then that wasn't even identifying. That was just literally trying to recover.
Patient A is going to this facility. Yes. We'll try to identify who A is.
Exactly. And like, where's the paper trail for this person? And do they have like a toe tag on? And we don't know. And it's just...
Oh my gosh. What a nightmare.
What an absolute clusterfuck.
Wow.
I mean... just in terms of the investigation, I'm not even getting into yet, like, for the families and for
the emotional piece of it,
which is like the most heartbreaking part of this. And we're going to get more into that. By October 17th, the announcement was made that in total, 189 decaying, unidentified bodies were removed from the premises. 189.
Oh, my goodness.
The bulk of these bodies were transported to the El Paso County Coroner's Office for identification.
I have so many questions.
We'll get there. Devin has all of the questions.
All of them.
All of them.
I got them all.
Every question. So investigators now start pouring through records and financials for this place. Priority number one becomes figuring out who these people are so we can start to disclose this unfortunate reality to the loved ones of these decedents. Well, some of the remains weren't there too long could be identified through fingerprinting.
Okay.
But there were some that were like too far decayed for that, which is so heartbreaking. And they had to use dental records and were still waiting on DNA for those that couldn't even be that had to have DNA to identify them. This is so sad.
Wow.
Now, investigators found tons of records of payments for decedents who had requested to be cremated through the Return to Nature funeral home. No families had come forward, though, about not receiving their loved ones' remains. So,
Stop. Whose remains were they given?
Okay. If you just hold on and let me finish my sentence.
I need to know now.
If you just let me get the rest of this out, you'll know the answer.
This has to be anticipated.
If you just relax over there, I will let you know immediately.
Let me just go to sleep.
Post haste.
Going to sleep. I'm relaxing.
Nobody had like come forward and been like, oh, hey, I paid for a cremation and I didn't get any remains. So what's going on here that families are like perfectly content?
Because I have your mom right here.
Here's your mom. Like, what's going on? So, another thing of note that was found in the building were several empty and partially emptied and open bags of dry concrete mix.
What? Concrete?
Quickcrete concrete mix. Powdered concrete.
Shut the fuck up.
So quickly it came together that the families had received what they thought were remains of their cremated loved ones.
Literal concrete.
And when in reality, the Halfords had taken money from people, pocketed the money, and in return, families in many cases received a box of dry concrete.
What was their plan to do with these bodies? Did they have a plan?
I mean, it kind of seems like they didn't have a plan, but they had things that they were experimenting with and trying.
Obviously, concrete is cheaper than actually cremating someone.
Yes.
So, yes, you're in it for the
money.
For the cash.
Yeah.
But you have to do... I can see how they got caught. Let's just put it that way.
It is of no surprise to Devin that these people did not last long doing what they were doing. So, by November 8th, John and Carrie Halford were arrested as the investigation continued.
It took from July to November.
The initial report was like in early October that there was a smell.
I thought you said it was July of 23.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
So it was July of 23 was when they had no crematorium even associated with them.
Got it. That's where July came from.
They weren't cremating anybody.
Yep.
Okay. So
mind blown.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Literally mind blown.
Whoa.
So, and then like the investigation happened like through October. It was October 17th that they announced that they found 189 bodies.
Oh, man.
And then by November 8th is when they were arrested. They were arrested on November 8th. So initial charges were improper storage of human remains. As in the state of Colorado, at least in Colorado, it is illegal for a body to be stored in a funeral home without being refrigerated until they have been embalmed. So you can't do that.
I would imagine that that would be illegal no matter what state you're in.
I would imagine so too. And I only looked up the laws for Colorado. I'm That's sure why I'm saying at least in Colorado.
Me. This yeah. is not a field I am like proficient in. Mm-hmm. But why would a state Sorry, be okay with that without I don't think, utilizing a refrigerator?
I feel like most probably would not. And I think it's probably the standard everywhere. But so they have all these charges, although the charges are still piling up. They just were like, okay, we got to make sure these people don't like leave the country or anything. So the two are arrested pending their hearings, and they were both held on a $2 million bond initially.
Okay.
So there is obvious immediate public outcry in the community.
I remember seeing this on headlines. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Unfortunately, there are now hundreds of people who are hearing that their loved one, whom they were under the impression was cremated, was literally rotting in a building for weeks or months.
That's awful.
Which is devastating to people. And we're going to go through coming up some of the accounts from like families of the victims and what they went through.
Their experience mm-hmm. with the home.
Yes. So now, even after the remains were removed, they still had tons of documentation and financials and things to go through. And the building was an absolute environmental disaster. And we'll get into that, too. The death certificates for these people that were identified would say a date of cremation on them. So they were falsifying this whole death certificate record. Shit. Stating that they were cremated on XYZ date, which of course is not the case since they're right fucking here.
Wow.
So right there, that's blatantly falsifying death certificates. And many of these families have fake remains. So investigators would start then interviewing families about their interactions with them. The FBI is heavily involved in this. And they are even taking samples of remains that people have in their, like of the ashes people have in their homes, to be tested and to be, you know, sent for analysis to see if it's human remains or concrete.
Fuck. Wow.
Here's an account from a woman named Tanya Wilson, who said her mother's body was identified as being one of the neglected remains found at the funeral home and believes that the ashes she received are fake. And she states that there was jewelry left on her mother as she deteriorated in this building. And her mother, you know, was a wonderful mom, sometimes worked three jobs to support her and her siblings, and yeah. was obviously a well-loved member of their family. She states that when authorities recovered her body, they gave her some jewelry back, including a bracelet that was really special to her. And Tanya is quoted by the Associated Press to have said, quote, "There is no amount of jail time that will justify my brother having to clean my mother's rotting flesh off of her bracelet God. That they oh gave back
God.
To us."
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Devastating.
Oh, man.
Devastating.
Oh.
To think of your loved one like that.
Oh, my gosh.
Thrown in a shoved in a corner like a piece of trash.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we've spent a lot of time the last few weeks talking about like long-term care, right? Mm-hmm. You know, because that's the nature of where the story took us. You know, and when we get to that, like, I think about so much respect that goes into when we're taking care of a body after they've passed and it's still the person, you know, and mm-hmm. No matter what your beliefs are of what happens to us after that time, you know, and the respect that goes into when I see the funeral home people come. Mm-hmm. And the quality of like
yes
their bags and yes. equipment and you know quilts that might go over them and stuff like that and mm-hmm. I'm so perplexed mm-hmm. because you know you have these families who've put their trust in us to take care of them as mm-hmm. they're dying
yes
but you're trusting that coroner or funeral home director whatever you know mortician to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. That is the last care that your loved one is going to receive mm-hmm. in their final moments as you say goodbye. Mm-hmm. You're already grieving that you no longer have this person engaging with you and being with you. I'm like the role of a mortician is so critical and so important.
I agree completely.
Just as much as us taking care of them in their final moments of passing.
Yes.
It's things that you'll remember forever.
Yes.
And how a mortician treats you in your time of grief and treats yes. your loved one is just as important.
I agree. This is something people should not have to worry about.
Absolutely not.
People should not have to worry about their loved one being shoved in a corner like
and
a piece of garbage.
And that you're going to get concrete in return.
And that you're not going to get your loved one's remains. No wow. one should have to be concerned about that.
No.
It's devastating for these people. And the scale is just insane. It just boggles the mind. Another woman by the name of Christina Page went public when she was contacted regarding her son's remains.
Oh, no.
Her son was 20-year-old David Page,
who
was killed during an encounter with law enforcement back in 2019. And for 4 years, she did news conferences. She toured the Colorado Capitol. She went to Washington, D.C. as she advocated for police reform, carrying an urn of what she thought were her son's ashes.
Oh, man.
For 4 years, all around the country. She was quoted by the AP to have said, quote, "For 4 years, I've marched all over this country with this urn, believing it to be my son. My son has been laying there rotting for 4 years." 4 years he was there.
So this is not even people that have passed since they didn't have a crematorium.
Oh, no. There were people there years.
So even when they had crematoriums contracted to work with them, clearly this is showing why.
Yes.
There was obviously issues.
Huge issues.
4 years?
4 years. Yes.
Why? Now I want to know, you know,
how this started and why they would do this.
There's that. But, like, let's think back again to Carl Tanzler. Right?
So many parallels to our boy, like, Kyle.
That one woman was causing such a environmental odor and smell, and not so many flowers could disguise the odor and whatnot. How do you have a 4-year-old dead body?
Mm-hmm.
And how?
I think that.
And that's one.
That's
forget
one.
Forget the other 160, 80. What did
I
you
think
say?
Eventually the number and the scale and the amount of remains that collected in this place just became too much for them to be able to hide. And we're going to talk about
hide that much.
We're going to talk about other things that they did to try and conceal things. It's so sad.
They buy a shit ton of flowers, too, like Carl Tanzer did.
Febreze.
Stop. That's a joke.
No.
I have no comment.
Okay.
No.
Devin's going to wait for this to unfold.
Oh.
She's just going to unfold. The FBI actually went on to exhume a grave at the Pikes Peak National Cemetery after documentation was uncovered that a U.S. Army veteran had had a green burial months prior at the cemetery.
Oh, boy.
But surprisingly, their actual remains were identified and found within the facility.
So what was in there?
So they found that Return to Nature had buried some other random person that they had lying around in this person's place. Like, it's nonsensical. You can't just bury, like, even with this, you can't just bury the right fucking human being.
If you're gonna go through giving an actual burial, why would
that
you not
make
it the right person?
That one, I'm like, so there's no benefit to that, like, because you're still going through the motions and burying someone. So, like, what is the problem here? Why? The reason for that, I don't understand at all. So they're just burying and cremating whoever in the place of whatever, and then often not burying or cremating anyone at all and just taking the money.
I have no words.
And there are just so many more of these heartbreaking stories. It's really just something, again, no one should have to worry about this. No one should have to worry about whether your loved one is actually where the funeral home said that they are, laying to rest.
Right.
No one should have to be concerned about that.
Oh, man.
So, recently, indictments were made public, which released a lot more details about what was found of the facility, the condition of the facility.
I am not prepared.
So this is where we're going to get sort of heavily into detail with the findings around the bodies and the condition that they were in. So I think it's important to sort of talk about this so that we can really hammer down, like, the gravity of the situation and what these people tried to do to, like, conceal what they were doing and just how abhorrent this whole situation is. but it is graphic. So please, please, please skip ahead if gore, decomp, stuff like that I'm is skipping. Bothersome. Devin's going to skip ahead.
Skipping.
So.
I never have that privilege.
Like I said, a total of 189 bodies were recovered in this building that were stored unrefrigerated, and rooms were infested with bugs, and the liquid decomposition from their bodies was just everywhere. According to the affidavit, during the execution of the search warrant, some bodies were, and I'm going to directly quote the affidavit here just so I don't misstate anything.
Those of you on YouTube, you can totally tell that I'm sitting up at the edge of my seat at the moment, staring at Kate. I am giving her the I'm all in.
This is a whole situation. So, according to the affidavit, some bodies were, quote, contained in disposable body bags. Some were in regular body bags used by local coroners. Some were in hospital body bags. Some were wrapped in sheets and then duct taped. Some were wrapped in plastic and then duct taped. Some were exposed with no covering at all or partially covered. Some bodies were on a gurneys. Some were just laying on the floor, stacked on top of other bodies. Investigators also located personal artifacts, presumably given to return to nature by families with the intention of the artifacts being buried with or cremated with the individuals. The decomposition of the human body can produce various fluids. These fluids covered the floors in the buildings. Covered the floors. They were wading through inches of fluids on the floors. Maggots, flies, and other insects in various stages of life were vastly present within the building. Some areas, these insects covered the floor and were on many of the bodies. Many of the clear plastic bags with decomposition fluid had like filled the bags and caused the bags to leak everywhere and to break, subsequently spilling human decomposition fluid onto the floor. There were 5-gallon red and orange plastic buckets from Harbor Freight and Home Depot that were in the building. And in some instances, the buckets were placed below the bodies to collect the leaking decomposition fluids. The condition of the floors presented a slip hazard for the team that ultimately had to remove the bodies. Several areas of the building were initially inaccessible due to the bodies being stacked so high. The building did have 3 refrigerating units, although none of them appeared to be working properly. The door was complete. So they, if you, and I'll post a picture of like sort of how they mapped out the facility because there's several rooms, right? They labeled the rooms like A through M, I think it is. So they're referring to room G, room A, room E.
Right.
So it goes on to say the door was completely open to room G and bodies were stacked in front of it. Like you couldn't close the door because they were stacked in front of it. In room B, the refrigerator was powered by an exterior window type air conditioner, like just a window unit that was running, but the door was also open. The refrigerator in there appeared to be homemade. So it wasn't even like an actual industrial refrigerating unit made for mortuary
purposes.
The overall temperature in the interior space was approximately 70 degrees, according to the thermostat on the walls. During the warrant execution, investigators located evidence, the presence of chemicals, Raid brand bug bombs, large Arm & Hammer brand baking soda containers, and several cans of Febreze. All to try to get rid of the bugs and the odor.
Whoa.
This also, we're continuing to stay graphic here, people. A large bone grinder was present in room A. Next to the bone grinder was a black and gray bag of Quikrete concrete mix resurfacer. An empty bag of Quikrete was also located in a container with the other trash. It was submitted that the concrete mix and possibly some other substance was used to fill and subsequently give the deceased, like fill the urns and then given, they were obviously given to the deceased's family members. It appeared that one of the rooms, Return to Nature was experimenting with water cremation. And water cremation is also known as alkaline hydrolysis. And it's a process of disposing human remains in which pressure, heat, water, and potassium hydroxide is used to essentially dissolve the body, which it takes about 4 to 6 hours. Like, it's a pretty quick process when it's done correctly. And the process reduces to, like, essentially just a fatty waste product and remaining bones.
Okay.
So they were experimenting with that as a way to, like, get rid of the remains. There were multiple CCTV cameras in the facility and on the property and internally also. And all of those tapes were seized and gone through as evidence. The affidavit states, quote, "The exterior camera at the site entrance of 31 Werner Road, an individual matching the physical identifiers of John Halford, including two large tattoos on both forearms," and he's looking around, making sure nobody's watching.
Right, right, right.
"Prior to bringing the bodies inside the building, Halford obtained a cart from inside the building, and then some of his activity inside the building was captured on the camera. And the interior camera captured some of the room, and they were able to, like, watch part of this video during this hearing that they had. And investigators labeled what they had labeled as room A. It showed multiple deceased human bodies in the room, including a body on a gurney that was not covered and still had hospital socks on and a Depends, like a diaper. The body had already begun to decompose, and based on the combined interior and exterior footage, Halford needed that gurney to bring the bodies in, like, from the building. So he was seen flipping this body onto the floor into a puddle of goo.
Decomposition.
Because he needed the gurney to bring in more bodies. And he dumped the body on the floor. He wiped the remaining decomposition off the gurney and left to go get the other bodies and bring them in.
Oh.
So callous.
What?
So cold.
Oh.
Just absolute disregard for humanity.
This is a monster.
A monster. This is just an example of their complete lack of respect for these people and the remains and the families.
Day.
This is one moment.
Day. One day. Yeah.
And how many moments led up to 189 bodies being found?
Oh, I'm shivering.
You may be wondering why. Like,
and,
you said,
among a few other things,
these
I'm
people
wondering.
Were being paid to perform a service. Why didn't they just perform the service? And like, why did they let these bodies stack up? It's all about money. So mathematically speaking, for the Halfords to cremate every single body that was found on their property, it would have cost them around $57,000, which they've gotten payments upon payments to cover that and then some and make a profit.
Funeral expenses are not cheap.
Yeah.
You're getting paid.
And they received payment to be able to take care of each and every one of these burials and cremations if they wanted to. But investigators learned that John and Carrie recently took a trip to Vegas, had a lavish vacation, even spending $1,500 on a single dinner. Additionally, they both have brand new vehicles, including a GMC Yukon, which was bought with cash at $80,000. That one vehicle alone would have taken care of all of these people's remains. All and then some, and had $30,000 left over. But they chose to use the money doing whatever they wanted and just store the bodies in rooms.
Oh.
In a hot warehouse to rot, to falsify records and be absolute pieces of shit. So, thus far, as this investigation continues, the coroner's office have been able to identify all but 22 of the bodies, but they are still working on it. We are still waiting on DNA for some of these,
right?
Which does take time. So we are hopeful that soon they'll be able to confirm.
I'm sure some of the older ones are probably super
skeletal
hard.
At 4 years. You know, so now in January of this year, January of 24, a judge actually lowered John Halford's bail from $2 million to about $100,000.
Why?
And he was able to bond out.
Why?
Because he had no criminal record and it wasn't a violent crime. And I'm sure there were a million different reasons.
So he's out on bond.
So he's out on bond. He bonded out on January 29th with the terms that he has to surrender his passport and have no contact with the victims, obviously. The most recent update on this is that Carrie Halford was also able to bond out of custody as well on February 28th, just 3 days ago. She was able to skip. In total, the couple faced more than 250 felony counts.
Yeah.
Including abuse of a corpse, money laundering, forgery,
falsifying.
Theft, falsifying government records, improper storage of human remains, They are both scheduled to appear in court for their arraignment hearing on March 21st, which is in just a few weeks from now. So I'm very curious to see what else comes out of this. Now,
wow, because they'll have the arraignment. Mm-hmm. And so what do you think? Guilty or innocent? Not guilty.
I can't.
What do you think they're going to plead at arraignment?
I don't understand how they'd be able to plead not guilty. Like, right. I don't understand how. I mean, I don't know, because they might just want to avoid trial altogether and plead guilty and take
guilty,
it.
Plead guilty, not let more of what they did come out.
Exactly.
Than what's already come out.
Than what's already come out. So who knows? I don't know. Now, the funeral home itself is, of course, the building is an environmental disaster. I mean, it's beyond saving at this point. So the community is actually calling for its demolition, which I think is completely appropriate.
Absolutely.
And are hoping to construct a memorial in its place
for
the victims and their families who were left to rot in the hellhole. So tons more to come on this. I just really wanted to get it out there because we've had a lot of requests for it.
Wow.
And we will have a part two as this trial begins to unfold.
Especially if they have a trial.
If there is a trial, right? But I wanted to bring you the details, and just, it's such a shocking and sad situation for these poor families.
I
Devin doesn't have words.
I can't believe it took this long.
No. Isn't that wild?
I can't believe it took that long. I got nothing to say.
Devin's in a way.
I have a lot to say, and I don't know how to say it.
Yep.
That's okay, then.
You're welcome.
So, Kate, thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening, everyone.
Oh, God.
If you want to keep learning more about us and finding us, you can look for us on Facebook at Med Crimes Podcast. You should search for us on Instagram at Med Crimes Podcast.
If you wish to become a Patreon, you can find us at www.patreon.com/medcrimespodcast.
You can email us any of your crazy stories, comments, anything that you want to say to us at www.medcrimes@gmail.com.
Nope.
I'm going to add in there just because...
It's not www. It's just medcrimes@gmail.com. You did the thing again.
That's hilarious.
Yes, it is.
How many times have I done that?
I don't know. Maybe a lot and I've never noticed.
Wow. First of all, that's funny.
Yes.
Second of all, if you want to check out my husband's distant family member that I mentioned on TikTok, go to Hollis Funeral Home. And she really kind of brings this mortician respectfully into modern times and normalizing some of what they do.
Yeah. Which I think is fabulous. I think it should be more something people know about and think about. And I mean, it's a very specialized field. It's fascinating.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Stay safe out there.